And we're holding on page 14, towards the end of OCU, at about the beginning of the wide lines. Page 14 in Aven. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then some copies of it. I guess it might be. Yeah. It's towards the end of OCU. So we were talking about Torah Shebaal Peh and the importance of it and how careful you have to be with Divrei Chachamim. So now in this connection, the Gemara mentions Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav of Shmuel. When Shlomo set up the concept of Eruvin and Atilus Yadayim, so before Shlomo, there wasn't the concept of Eruvin Chatzeris, the Minator, after all, any place that you can make an Eruv Chatzeris is a Rishus HaYachid, so you can just carry in it freely. Shlomo HaMelech is the one who came up with the concept of making an Eruv, and Atilus Yadayim. The Gemara explains elsewhere in Shabbos, I think, that Shlomo's original takana was to wash your hands when you're eating kodshim. Later on, later chacham, later generations made it also when you're eating cholim. Anyway, so when he made those takanas, Yotza Basko v'Amra, a Basko came out and announced two psukim from Mishlei expressing how pleased Hashem is with what Shlomo has accomplished. First pasuk, Bni im chacham libecha, my son, if your heart is wise, yismach libi gam oni, then my heart is also happy. Va'omer, and another pasuk also from Mishlei, chacham bni v'samach libi, my son is wise and my heart is happy. Va'oshiva chofi dover, and I will then be able to respond back with words to those who mock me. Now, why the two psukim? Marsha explains in Shabbos, where it also mentions this point about these two takanas. The first one safeguards Shabbos, that it makes it, as the Rambam describes, without the concept of Erev Chumen, people are likely to think that there's not much difference between a chotzer or a mavui, which is owned jointly by a bunch of people, versus Rosh Hashanah, which is also owned jointly by a bunch of people. So they'll forget the whole concept of not carrying outdoors on Shabbos, so therefore this helps safeguard Shabbos. So therefore, so the Baskel is saying, Yismach libi gam oni, that Hashem is saying, I'm also happy that you've made this takana, that way the Kedusha of Shabbos will be preserved. As far as the second thing, as far as Netilas Yadayim, you find in some places in Shas where it mentions that there were people who were careless with it, who belittled it and thought it wasn't very important. There's Gemara in Brachas, for example, actually of a Mishnah in Adius that mentions a fellow named Elazar ben Chanoich, who was like that, who picked to the Taras Yadayim. He belittled the whole idea of the hands becoming tahor by washing. So therefore, the pasuk Vashiva Chofi Dover refers to that Hashem is saying we can respond to them and say they're wrong. There is, in fact, a concept of Taras Yadayim. Okay. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, what does it mean a pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Now, actually, Marsha points out, so these psukim that we're going to quote now come right before the pasuk that we quoted yesterday, Hadudoyim Nosnu Reach, which was also, Rava gave a drosha on that it referred to the Bachura Yisrael and Bnois Yisrael, the young Jewish men and women, where we said are careful to preserve them, to preserve their tznius and their, and not be mezana and be careful with Hochas Taras Mishpacha and whatnot. So Marsha says this is part of that same drasha. This is he's explaining the psukim back to back. So my diftiv, v'chod dodi netzei asadi v'gomer. The pasuk says, "Come, my beloved, let's go out to the field." So that means omer knesset yisrael of nakodesh baruch hu ribon shalom al tidineni ki yoshve krakim. Don't judge me like people who live in big cities. People in big cities, because there's a lot of business going on over there and a lot of people living over there. So therefore, it's very common to have gezel and arayas and false shavuos and useless shavuos in such places. So don't judge me like that, like the people in such places. Ela neitzeh hasodah, rather, as it says in the pasuk, let's go out to the field. Meaning, come, I'll show you the Talmid Chachamim who work hard in learning Torah in difficult situations. Meaning, in other words, it actually says, so they live out in the villages and the farms, and they work as farmers, and it's a very hard kind of parnasa. So they, but they don't have Gezel and Arias and so forth. So come, let me show you the Talmud Chachamim who act like that and judge us like that rather than like the people in the big cities. Then the pasuk continues, Nalino Bakforim, let us lodge, let us stay overnight in the villages. So Rashi actually on the pasuk, Marsha points out, Rashi on the pasuk combines this together with the previous drasha and says that the altidineni kiyoshve kraken, but rather consider me like a person who lives in a village where people are much more erlach. But here the Gemara is giving a different drasha that the word kforim itself has a different meaning. Altidineni bakforim ela bakoifrim. Don't read bakforim, meaning in the villages, but bakoifrim among those who deny Hashem. Meaning, we're saying, Ar echa bnei esav sheishpata lahem toivascha. Come, let me show you, for contrast between us and them, let me show you the children of Esav, that you gave them so much good, the kafru b'cha, and they're denying you, and they're denying that you run the world. So put us up against them, and you'll see how much better we are. The Rif points out, for one thing, that the way the Gemara is getting some parts, or the way that Rava is getting some parts of this drasha, is first of all the whole thing is written in plural. So why is lacha dodi in the singular? Shouldn't it be neilech? If we're going to go and stay overnight in the villages, why are we talking about going out to the fields? And why does it have the word dodi in the middle? So based on all that, he says this is where Rava is getting from these nuances in the pasuk, is getting these details of the Jerusha. For example, he says, as far as Lacha Dodi, it means, obviously, as we know from Shabbos davening, it means come, my beloved, but Lacha can also mean to you. So we're saying, in other words, I belong to you, my beloved, to Hashem. And when you realize that, and you look at us contrasted with Bnei Esav, then you see how devoted we are to you as contrasted with them. The pasuk continues, Nashkima lakramim, let's wake up early in the morning in the vineyards. That means, so what are the vineyards? Eva batik nesiyas, so batim medrashas. That refers to the shuls and the batim medrash, where Marsha points out, the people sit over there in rows. Like we've had before the expression the Gemara often uses, kerem biyavne, the vineyard in Yavne, meaning the beis medrash over there, where everybody sat in rows, like a vineyard. So therefore, a shul and a beis medrash can be compared to a vineyard. The pasuk continues, Nireim Porcha Gefen. Let's see if the grapevines have blossomed. So Eva Bale Mikra. So we're saying to Hashem, let's show you the Bale Mikra, the people who are learning Tanakh. So they're not yet up to learning Mishnah and Gemara. So therefore, they're only like flowers. They're only like when the flowers are first starting to blossom, but that's the beginning of their development and learning Torah. Pitach ha-smodar, the pasuk continues, the smodar has opened up, which has opened up. Smodar is where the fruit starts developing, where the petals of the flowers fall off, and you see tiny little grapes, which eventually will grow into full clusters. So Eva Bali Mishnah, that refers to the people who are learning Mishnah, which is they're further developed in their knowledge of Torah than the Bali Mikra. And Heinetzu Harimonim, when the pasuk continues, the pomegranates have fully blossomed. Meaning, in other words, when it comes to pomegranates, you have the crown of the pomegranate is called nates in Mishnah Lashon. So therefore, and it protects the inside, it protects the seeds inside the pomegranate. So therefore, that represents where they're completely developed. Elu Bale Talmud, that refers to the people who are already up to studying Talmud, where they're completely developed in their knowledge of Torah. And the pasuk finishes off, Shom Etanes Dodai Loch, there I will give my love to you, meaning Shar Echa Kvodio Gdulas Shevach Bonay Ugnoisai. There I'll be able to show you my covered, the covered of the Jewish people, and the greatness and the praise of my sons and daughters. And then Marsha says, here now comes in the earlier part of the Drasha, the part of the Drasha that we quoted earlier in the Gemara, where he says that when it continues, Hadudoyim Nosnu Reach Vapsochenu Komagodim, refer tackle to those Jewish young men and women, that I'll show you how good they are compared to their peers among the Goyim. Continues the Gemara, getting back to Shlomo HaMelech, getting back to what he accomplished with Torah Shebaal Peh. Omer Rav Hamnuna, Maydichti Vaydabesh Shloshes Alofin Moshel. The pasuk says that Shlomo spoke 3,000 Moshel. So Rashi explains that Moshel means Tam. It means, so literally Tam means a reason. On the other hand, Marsha says Tam may actually be like the timing, like Trup, the same way as we have Trup on the Psukim of Tanakh, the same way we find in different times and places they used to learn Torah Shabbat Peh with a nigun and with Trup as well. They actually have, for example, those old Kisva Yad of Mishnayas and certain other Sfarim. There was even a printed edition of Gemara that has Trup on the Mishnayas. One of the early printed editions of the Gemara from the mid-1500s actually has Trup on the Mishnayas. And you have Kisva Yad that have like that also. So Marusha says that's what it might mean about Tam. That's what Rashi might mean over here by Tam, because the idea is the same way as in the Pesukim, the Trup help us understand the syntax of the Pesuk, the same way Trup on Mishnayos and Gemara and whatever, Torah Shabbat Peh, will also help us understand it better and remember it better. Anyway, so he had 3,000 Moshel, by his Shirei Chamisha V'Olef, and his songs were 1,005. So what does that mean? First of all, it means that he was comparing things one to another. That's what a mashal is. You compare one thing to another, and that way it helps make it clear to people what you mean. In fact, in Chassidus, it talks about an idea that a mashal, what's the idea when you're giving a mashal, is a Rebbe is teaching something to his Talmidim, which is above their capability to grasp. So he brings it down into a mashal, which brings it down to their level. So Shlomo was on such a high level compared to the simplest Jews that he couldn't teach them what he wants to directly. He'd have to give a moshul for it, but even the moshul would be far beyond their capabilities. So he'd have to give a second moshul to explain the first moshul, and then a third moshul to explain the second. And eventually, after 3,000 tzimtzumim like that, it could get down to the point where the simplest Yid could understand it. So Melamed, so we learn from this, Shama Shlomo called Dover B'Dover Shal Torah Shloshes Alofim Moshul. So for every single thing in the Torah, he was able to say 3,000 moshel. So again, Rashi explains that moshel means tam, means that, so either it can mean reasons, that he's able to give 3,000 reasons for each mitzvah, or again, Marsha says what it may mean is that he's able to give different ways of reading it and understanding it based on the trup that will help us understand it on a deeper level. So that was Divrei Torah. Va'al kol dava v'dava shal sofrim, and then for everything that the sofrim, that the chachamim taught us, ha'yomer elaf v'chamisha taimim, he used to say 1,005 reasons for that. So again, Marusha says it's possible that it's possible that one kind of tam means over here means trup, and the other one means reason. So it could mean that he had different ways of reading the trup on things of Torah Shabbat Peh. It can also mean he had different ways of giving reasons behind each thing. Eitz Yosef explains that when it comes to Divrei Torah, then the reasons he had to give are based on a mashal, because ultimately the reason for anything in Torah Shabbat is B'Tzchach Masir Ratzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it came to Divrei Sofrim, there he was able to explain the reasons without having to give a mashal. Dorash Rab Abba or Rava, my dichtiv, another pasuk it says about what Shlomo accomplished, the Yosef Shahoya Kahelas Chacham, not only besides which that Kahelas, which is another name for Shlomo, was a Chacham, was wise, Oid Lima Das Asa'am, he also taught knowledge to the people. So that means the Agmer Ebisimone Tayma, La Asbara Bidadomi, or Asbara Bamaid Domi Le. Again, it means that he was able to teach them, that he taught the people, even the simple Jews, he explained to them simonim and reasons behind what's going on and explain it by analogy to something else that they would be familiar with. So again, Marusha says, we're referring to the trup over here, that through that, they're able to understand better the meaning of what they're being taught. Because now the trup make the words fit together better in sentences that they can understand. Then the same pasuk continues, the izain v'chiker, and then izain, where literally izain means he made them hear, but the Gemara is going to douse in it differently over here, v'chiker, and he investigated, chicken mishogam harbe, and he enacted, or he set up, many mishogam. So what's this word, v'izain? Amar ula, amar abalazim, v'tchila hoysa ha-torah doyma l'kupa, or l'kfifa she'en la'oznayim. Originally, the Torah was like a basket that doesn't have ears, meaning handles. The handles of a basket are sometimes called in Mishnah and Gemara terminology are called osnayim. So before that, the Torah was like a basket without handles. It was very hard to grasp and very easy to drop it. until Shlomo came and made handles for it with the takonis that we said before. Now, he made the takonis in particular of Eruvin and Until Tadayim. Tosfos, in fact, points out that there's another famous takona that the Gemara explains came from Shlomo HaMelech. In Yevamos, the Gemara says he's the one who was misaken the concept of Shnius. So you have the Arayas, you have the 20 or so Arayas that are in the Torah. Then on top of that, you have now. Let's say, for example, a man is not allowed to marry, let's say, his mother or his grandmother. But midaraisa, he would be allowed to marry his great grandmother. Suppose hypothetically, let's say she's young enough. But midrabanan, because of the shnius, then you're not allowed to. And you have many examples like that. The Gemara lists about you have 20 shnius or so to go with the 20 ones that are also daraisa. So before, actually, when we were talking about the baskol that said, complimented him on what he did, Tosfos says, okay, maybe what it was is he came up with that takana only later. But Basio, we're saying, izin v'chikir tikkun mishalom harbe, implies that he made takonis several times. So first he made the takonis of Erevin and Tol Shidayim, and then at some later point he made the takonis of Shnius. So that was like making handles for the basket of Torah so that it could be grasped and it wouldn't be dropped. Now the Gemara darshins other psukim regarding learning Torah and about the attitude that a person has to have towards learning Torah. A pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, "Kutzos of taltalim shchoras ka'odim." The locks of his hair are taltalim. They're like the wavy or curly shchoras ka'odim, black as a raven. So what does that mean? Amar of Chista, Amar of Okva, the first part, Kutzos of Taltalim, means Malamit Shahoya Dorish. It means that Shlomo was darshaning, or it can be Yesh Lidrosh, is how it's printed in the Gemara, that you could darshan, I'll call Koitz for Koitz, on every single Koitz of the letters of the Torah. That includes the tagim, it includes the places where a letter sticks out in one direction or another, like we learned in Shabbos, for example, about the piece on the back of the Dalet that sticks out backwards, various other places where you have little pieces of a letter that stick out here and there, so you can darshan on each one of those. Tilei tilim shel halachos, mounds upon mounds of halachos, so that's the drasha, kvutzos of meloshen koitz, and taltalim meloshen tilei tilim. And we know from the famous Gemara in Menachos that Rabbi Akiva in particular did that. Then when the pasuk continues, Shchoras Ka'odiv, which Marsha explains, in other words, it means, besides that you have all the secrets of Torah that are hinted at in these quotes, also you have many halachas in Nigla that can be learned, that can be learned and then derived from them. So then the pasuk continues, Shchoras Ka'odiv, black like a raven. That means, B'miata Motzis Sidrei Torah, by whom will you find the order of Torah? In other words, Marsha says, this that we're saying, that you can learn so many halachas from the kotzim of the letters, you're not going to just find any person is able to do that. What kind of person is going to be of the caliber to do that? The Misha Mashkim Omariv Aleim, the Beis Medrash, somebody who gets up early and stays late in the Beis Medrash to learn. So Shchoras is Meloshen Shachris, and Odev is Meloshen Aris. So when he gets up early in the morning to come to the Beis Medrash, and he stays late at night in the Beis Medrash, that's the kind of person that you're going to find by him Sidrei Torah, that he's going to be able to derive and deduce these kinds of things from the hints in Torah. Rabba gives a different explanation of Shchoras Ka'odiv. The Misha Mashka Ponav Aleihem Ka'odiv, it means who you're going to find the Sidrei Torah by, somebody who blackens his face over Torah like a raven. A raven is a deep black color. So it means that he starves himself and he doesn't bother with food. So actually, Marasha says it can be two things. It can be ma'ana atzme al dibrei Torah. He's afflicting himself over words of Torah. So therefore, his face ends up becoming black from the hardships that he goes through. Or it can mean that he doesn't eat very much. Which therefore, the comparison is to a raven. Is a raven has a raven doesn't have plentiful food, and we have the pasuk Livnei Odev Asher Yikro that Hashem provides for the children of the raven when they cry out. So we see, in other words, Marashah says that an Odev does not really have very much to eat so easily. So therefore, so the meaning of a hiyu can be either again that he fasts until his face is blackened, or that he doesn't worry about that he doesn't have very much food or very much parnasa, and again in that sense he's like an odor. That's the kind of person Rabba says is going to be the one who gets sidrei Torah. You're going to be able to find tremendous amounts of knowledge of Torah. Right? Rava Amar, Rava says a third meaning. It means Misha Mason Atzmai Achzori Al Bonav Al Bnei Beis Ka'odim. It means where you're going to find Torah by somebody who acts in a cruel way to his children or his family like a raven. So we don't mean literally cruel. A Yid is not allowed to be an achzor, but it means, in other words, that he realizes that they depend on Hashem rather than they need all the tanugim of Olam Haz, that they need to work to get all the tanugim of Olam Haz. He realizes that Hashem will provide for them what they need, and they only need to make the minimum effort. A raven, Rashi explains, is the symbol of cruelty in the sense that same pasuk, Livnei Odev Asher Yikro, is baby ravens are white, so therefore. So the Medrash explains, therefore, the parents don't recognize them as their own and they don't feed them. So they cry out to Hashem and Hashem provides them food. Hashem provides them mosquitoes or gnats that fly into their mouths. And that way they have what to eat. So the Odev is a symbol of being achzorius, stick towards its children. So therefore, Rava says that's the kind of attitude that a person needs to have in order to become a consummate Talmud Chacham. As we have the example of Rav Adar Bar Masna, who was going off to learn in the yeshiva, so his wife asks him, "Yunuki didoch my eved lahu? What should I do with your children? How am I supposed to support them while you're away?" So he answers, "Ika, there are or mishlimu, have there been used up? Kurmi ba'agma." Kurmi that are in the meadows, Rashi says two possibilities. Kurmi can mean vegetables, as in wild vegetables. So in other words, you can go pick wild vegetables and you'll live off them. Or Rashi brings an explanation from Aleph Beis de Rab Machir, which is Rabbeinu Machir was a brother of Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'or Agoila, and he wrote a sefer called Aleph Beis de Rab Machir, which was kind of like a dictionary of unusual words and phrases in Gemara and Midrashim, similar to the Aruch, although much smaller in scope, apparently. But anyway, this Rabbeinu Machir explains, Rashi brings, that Kurmi specifically are a type of weeds where inside the stem you'll find a soft substance that you can grind up to make into a kind of flour. So he's telling her there are still plenty of those in the meadow, so you're not going to go hungry. So that's an example of being achzori ka'odev, where a regular person might say to himself, my kids need good food and they need whatever, and therefore I can't go off to learn Torah. But Abadah, my master is realizing, so long as there is something in the world, Hashem provided these kinds of wild vegetables or wild herbs or whatever, wild grasses or whatever that they can live off of, then that's good enough. They can rely on that, and I can go and learn Torah. There's one of the famous Rabbi Baba Chana stories in Baba Basra involves also a raven. He tells over there he saw a huge frog the size of a city called Hagrunya, which has 60 houses. Then he saw He saw a snake came and swallowed the frog. Then he saw a raven came and swallowed the snake and perched on a tree. So imagine how strong that tree is. So the Vilna Gaon, his explanation, and the Agadis explains, he relates that to this Gemara over here. The huge frog represents a Talmud Chacham. He's the size of a city with 60 houses because he's mastered all 60 Masechtas of Shas. But then he's swallowed up by a snake, meaning the Yetzirah tries to get the better of him and get him to abandon learning in order to go get Parnassa or whatever. So instead, that snake gets swallowed up by a raven, as in we're saying over here in the Gemara, that he reaffirms, I have to be like the raven and not worry so much about the Parnassa of my children and leave it up to Hashem. So the result is he ends up having a tree that supports him. Well, imagine how strong that tree is, meaning that Hashem provides him a zvulun to his Yetzirah who will support him financially so that he'll be able to learn Torah full time. So imagine how strong that tree is. Imagine what the great schar is of a gvir who does that, who supports a Talmud Chacham like that. Okay. The Gemara goes on to another topic over here about Hashem's judgment. And again, it's not so easy to see the connection between this and the previous one. But maybe since we were saying mashke ponav aleim ka'odev, therefore the Gemara is bringing another drasha involving ponav. Anyway, the Pasuk says, "Umashalom l'sonav alponav lahavidoy." The Pasuk says in the Parashas Ekev that Hashem pays back his enemies to his el ponav, to his face, lahavidoy, to destroy him. So on the face of it, El Ponov, on the simple meaning, El Ponov would mean what would mean to the face of the Rosha, meaning as long as the Rosha lives in Olam Hazeh. And in fact, that's how Rashi explains it in the Pasuk. On the other hand, Marusha says here the Gemara wants to understand it differently, because given that son of the Yud Vav of that word refers to Hashem, his enemies, then therefore the Gemara wants to understand that Ponov, his face, should also refer to Hashem rather than to the Rosha. So Amrav Yishor ben Levi, Omole Mikra Kosev Yef Shalom Omer. If the Pasuk weren't said, it would be impossible for us to say it ourselves, because the way it's phrased is almost going to sound a little chutzpahdik to Hashem. But Paviyachol, Ka'odim Shanoise Masir Aponov, it's like a person who's carrying a heavy burden in front of his face, Omavakash Lashluchim Imenu, he wants to throw it off. So the same way, in other words, that Hashem wants to Hashem, so to speak, considers it burdensome to have the Rosha around and not punish him, and Hashem is like eager to get rid of that burden. Marsha explains, in other words, we're talking about, we know that the little good that a Rosha does is rewarded in this world. So therefore, that kind of thing, Hashem always has it in mind. It's like a burden. I want to be quick and reward him for it in Olam Hazeh. And that way, Lahavido, and that way he can be punished and destroyed in Olam Hazeh. So on the other hand, Marsha says that Rambana, but they explains that it means talking about Hashem punishing the Rosha for the Ra that he did, but that doesn't really fit with our Gemara over here. The same pasuk continues, Lo Ya'achar L'Soinai, he will not delay to his enemy. So that means Omer Rabbi Ila L'Soinai Hu D'Lo Ya'achar, means he won't delay paying back his enemies. Avol Ma'achar Hu L'Tzadikim Gemurim, but he will delay the reward for the Tzadikim Gemurim. So maybe this also fits with the previous Gemara that was saying that the Talmid HaChachamim live lives of tremendous poverty and difficulty and whatever, but this is all part of Hashem's plan that Hashem delays the reward for. Because that way they can have their full schar in other mabot. Behind the Amr Rabbi Shor ben Levi, my dichtiv asher anoichem etzavcha hayoyim la'asoysam. What does the pasuk mean? That same the next pasuk there at the end of the very end of Parshas Voschanan, rather not Ekev. The very next pasuk there says asher anoichem etzavcha hayoyim la'asoysam, that I command you this day to do them. Now, if it just meant that I'm commanding you to do them on this day, then the word la'asoysam should be earlier in the pasuk. So it means Hayom La'asoysim V'lo L'mocho La'asoysim, means today in Olam Hazeh is the time to do them, but not L'mocho, not tomorrow, because once a person has passed away, then he can't do mitzvahs anymore. As Rashi brings from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Misha Torach B'Erev Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos, only somebody who worked on Erev Shabbos is able to eat on Shabbos. So it's not, and that, so that's only Hayom, not L'mocho. And Hayom La'asoysim L'mocho Little Scharim, today is the day to do mitzvahs, tomorrow with La'asid Lavei is the time to get the reward for them. Yeah, so you do have in this pasuk actually the word hayoyim before la'asoysim. The word hayoyim has a tipcha, which has a separating tirup. So yeah, it does also mean that it means that shonis and tzavcha. So actually, no. In a way, the tirup are actually against the drosha and the pasuk over here. If you went according to the tirup, asher anoichem tzavcha hayoyim, that I'm commanding you today, and what am I commanding you? La'asoysim, to do them. But here, the Gemara's drosha is actually not in accordance with the tirup. It's really more asher anoichem tzavcha, which I'm commanding you, Hayom La'asoysim, that today is the time to do them, not tomorrow. And tomorrow, meaning La'asid Lavei, is the time to get the reward. Yeah. So all of this is part of Hashem's plan. So Ion Yaakov points out over here that, in other words, the two drushas over here, so first Rabbi Shor ben Levi is saying that Hashem wants to reward the Rosha as soon as possible, but then he's adding another point that you might think, okay, maybe Tzadikim, Hashem doesn't do it right away on the spot, but not necessarily, does he delay it so much? Therefore, Rabbi Ila comes and tells us that no, with Tzadikim, it's completely the opposite. Their schar gets delayed for a long time until Olam Haba. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chaga or Rav Chagai v'itaim Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani. May dichtiv erech apayim v'leksiv erech asni barilei. In Hashem's midas harachmim, it says erech apayim in the plural. And apayim, Rashi explains. So that can imply a happy face or an angry face. So that means, in other words, that Hashem is erech. Hashem is patient with both of those. So that means, so why not erech afmi barilei? Ela erech apayim l'rashoyim, but erech apayim l'tzadikim means Hashem is patient as far as the Rishoyim, and also as far as the Tzaddikim, meaning, in other words, that Hashem is patient with the Rishoyim and doesn't necessarily punish them right away. He gives their reward in this world and waits with their punishment till later. And the Tzaddikim, vice versa, Hashem is patient and doesn't give them their schar right away and saves their schar for the Osid Lava. Which Tosfos points out, actually, that this that we're saying, Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim, it's also for their good. The fact is, it means, so on the one hand, it means it can be for their detriment, because it can mean that they're going to get their complete punishment in Olam Haba. But on the other hand, it also means they have time in this world to do tshuva. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions this point, where the Gemara is quoting this piece from, actually makes that point, because it says over there that when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, he saw Hashem was writing Erech HaPayim. Rashi brings it on the pasuk in Parshas Shlach, and he says, does that mean only for the Tzaddikim? And that's what Hashem says for the Rishoyim also. And he tells Moshe, you're going to yet see. You think that that's not necessary. You're going to yet see that's necessary. And so when it came to the Chet Meraglim, then Moshe had to invoke that. And then you told me for the Rishoyim as well, so you have to be patient with them too. So the point is, this way they have the chance to do tshuva. So that's one aspect, that's what we're saying. There's two aspects of Erech HaPayim. There's one aspect that Rishoyim are successful, and the other aspect is that Tzaddikim are, on the surface, not successful. So both of those are part of Erech HaPayim. That's what we're saying. That's why HaPayim in the plural, because there are two different aspects of Hashem's patience, of Hashem's long-term plans. So at the end of the Perek, it talks about, and the Gemara is discussing the point. Now you have like this. You have a din called a karpet. You have an enclosed area that's not meant for living space. It's just meant as like for example a backyard or a playground or a storage area or whatever. So the din is if such an area is larger than a certain size, larger than Beis Sasayim, 5,000 square amas, 50 by 100 amas, then you're not allowed to carry it. Only if it was surrounded by a fence or a wall or whatever for the sake of being used as living space. So the Gemara spends a couple of blot discussing all the ins and outs of that din. Then the Mishnah mentions that one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Loi, said he learned from Rabbi Eliezer that the area can be much larger than that. It can be the size of a base kur. Now a kur contains 30 sub. So that means Rabbi Eliezer is allowing a space 15 times what everybody else is allowing to carry in, even if it was not Book of Ladira. And then the Gemara brings an opinion of Hananya, who says also in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that actually the amount is 40 saw, so even larger than Rabbi Lloyd is allowing. So the Gemara explains that both of them are learning from a pasuk that it talks about by Chizkiyah. We know the story that Chizkiyahu became very sick and Yeshaya came to visit him. The Gemara in Brachas tells the whole story. Then afterwards it says, by he Yeshayahu, lo yotza chotzer hatichoina. And here you have a kriuksim. You have the pasuk says that Yeshaya had not yet left the middle chotzer, but you actually have a kriuksim over there where it's written ha'ir and we read it chotzer. So it says ha'ir atichona, the middle city, is how it's written, but we read it chotzer atichona, the middle courtyard. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Loi and Hananya are both darshining, in other words, that the size of a chotzer that you can carry in Shabbos is the size of what would be in those times an average size city. So the machlokas is, what's the average size city in those days? The area of 30 or 40 saw. You think about it, by the way, an area of 30 saw is a base kur is an area about 270 by 270 amos, so a little bit more than that. So it's in modern terms, that would be about 400 by 400 feet. So you're talking like the equivalent of maybe two square blocks or so. That's Rabbi Loi's. Hananya's would be a little bit larger. So in those times, that would be considered, back then, that would be considered an average size city. Anyway, the point is, so now the Gemara brings the piece of Agadta that we have here in Ein Yaakov. Yeshayahu my boy Hossam. What is Yeshaya doing over there? Meaning, in other words, the question is not why he came to visit Chizkiyahu. We know why, to be Mevaka Choyla and to give him a nevuah that Hashem had said, as you have the whole story in Brachos over there. The question is, you would expect once Yeshaya is done, he's leaving through the front door of the palace. Chotzer HaTichoina implies like he's going through the back entrance. He's going like through the middle chotzer, like you have. In other words, there's a yard in back of the palace between it and the rest of the city. Why is he going out that way instead of going out the front door? This teaches us that Yechizkiyo was sick. Okay, that we don't really need to we know that already from the Pesukim. But anyway, Yeshaya went to set up a yeshiva of people to learn Torah by the entrance, by the door of Chizkiyahu's palace. That way, the Malach HaMavis shouldn't have the ability to go in there, because he can't go by people who are learning Torah. Now Marshall says, okay, well, that doesn't explain why he would set it up by the back entrance. Why didn't he set it up by the front entrance? And the answer is, Marshall says, okay, Yeshaya knew by Nevuah that the Malach HaMavis is going to come through the back entrance. And there might be a logical reason for that, because the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that when it's a normal time, when it's Sholem Be'ir, when it's not a time of an epidemic, then the Malach HaMavis has no right to walk straight down the street. Then he has to kind of skulk around in the alleys and the back and the sides of the streets or whatever. So Yeshaya knew that if the Malach HaMavis is coming for Chizkiyo, he's going to come through the back entrance. So therefore, he set up the yeshiva Davka over there. However, from here we learn that if the Talmud Chacham is sick, you should do that. You should set up a yeshiva by his door, and that way it'll protect him. However, the Gemara says, v'lav milsi. However, that's not really correct. On the contrary, it might provoke the Sutton. He said the Sutton, who Sutton, who Malach HaMavis. So he's going to see that you're trying to store it up with him and to block his way. So then he's going to work all the harder to try and get in. So does that mean that the Gemara is criticizing what Yeshaya did? So no, the Ritva says Yeshaya was a Navi and a Tzadik Gomer. That's different. But under regular circumstances, you shouldn't do it. On the other hand, Marashah says you don't even need that. That when the Talmud Chacham is sick and you don't know whether he's going to live or die, then yeah, you don't want to provoke the Malach HaMavis. Here, Yeshaya had already told Chizkiyahu and Nevuah that he's going to die. And only because of Chizkiyahu's tefillah, and actually Yeshaya came back and told him really in the schus of David HaMelech, is he going to be saved? So therefore, at this point, Yeshaya figured there's nothing to lose. The Malach HaMavis is already on his way for him anyway because of my Nevuah. So therefore, there's no harm even if the Satan is provoked. He's already provoked. He's already on his way anyway. So therefore, there's nothing to lose. But therefore, the Gemara is saying, under normal circumstances where you don't know that's the case, then don't do it. Say what? Yeah, because he didn't want to get married, and Yeshaya tells him, therefore, he lost his place in Amhaza and Amhaba, and he offers to Yeshaya to marry his daughter. Yeah, you have the whole story in Brachas, yeah. Okay. Bakoma Arvin Perek Shlishi. So the beginning of the Perek talks, the Perek basically talks about Dinim of Eruvei Tchumin. So it begins by listing what kinds of foods can and can't you use for an Eruv Tchumin. So the Mishnah mentioned the general rule, and the Gemara goes on with a long discussion of various types of food, what you're allowed to use, what you're not allowed to use, and for each one, what's the appropriate amount. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions that onions are not really a very unhealthy food. Pashtus, the Gemara is talking about raw onions. So it's Tanan Rabbanan. We learn in a Braisa. Lo yoichal adam bot. So in fact, before that, the Gemara brings a piece which is not here in Ein Yaakov that says that if a person eats an onion and the next day you find him dead, you don't have to worry what he died from. He must have died from eating the onion. It was bad for you. So now the Gemara says in this connection, Tanan Rabbanan, lo yoichal adam bot. A person should not eat onions, but ne nochash shabay, because of the nochash in it. Rashi explains the nachash means the very strong you have the very strong juice in the onion, which is bad for you. Tosfos, on the other hand, doesn't like that explanation. So prefers rather Rabbi Hananel's explanation that the nachash is, if you look when you cut open an onion, you have an area in the middle of the onion, you have a column like piece in the middle of the onion where the seeds are inside it. I don't know if you would find it so much in the onions we buy nowadays, because those are harvested fairly early, but in a mature onion you would find that where it's starting to go to seed, and you would have over there. So that column is sort of twisted and therefore it resembles a snake, and that's the point, is you shouldn't eat an onion because you might come to eat that nachash part. It happened once Reb Chanina ben Dosa ate a half an onion, and in it was that half a nachash. So according to Rashi, it means he ate half the juice of the onion, and according to Rabbi Hananel and Tosfos, it means he accidentally ate that column in the onion. And not alamos, and he became sick, and he was leaning towards death. Obikshu all of Chaver of Rachman Mechoya, so was his fellow Tamid Chachamim daven for Rachmanus for him, and he survived with Nesha Shot, Sricha Lekach, Uloi, because the time needed him, meaning Rashi says the Dur needed him. He was Tzadik Adur, and they needed him. Marsha says, what kind of a thing is that? You have lots of places in Shas where it says that they daven for a fellow Chacham to live. It doesn't have to mention that Shas Shot, Sricha Loi. So the vote is, Marsha says, because this is the Reb Chanina over here, Reb Chanina ben Dosa himself is the famous Baal HaMaisim, the famous Baal HaNes. He's the one. We find, for example, in Brochus, where Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai sent his Talmidim to Reb Chanina ben Dosa to daven on behalf of his son. So here, you would expect Reb Chanina ben Dosa to be davening on behalf of himself. But no, in Chobosh Materatzim Beis HaAsurim. So therefore, he needed the other Chachamim to daven for him, and therefore the Gemara stresses that point. Ion Yaakov points out, and a couple of other Mephoshim point out also, another way of understanding it is, look, Reb Chanina ben Dosa acted carelessly by eating this half an onion when the Gemara just said it's dangerous to do that. So if he had been anybody else, if it hadn't been somebody, Shashat Srichaloi, then they might have said, okay, listen, you know, it's his own fault. Whatever happens to him is his own problem. Because Shashat Srichaloi, they realize we can't afford to lose him, and therefore they daven on his behalf. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola, Tess Tammuz. Continuing on this topic of the Aleph that makes the difference between Go'la and Go'ola. So yesterday we talked about the first part of the Sicha where the Rebbe said that Aleph is Meloshin Aluf, that we're going to see how Hashem is Alufa Shel Olam, and we're going to see the Koyach of Hashem, that's the Koyach HaPoyol B'Nifo, the Koyach of Hashem that keeps the world running. The second meaning of Aleph is that Aleph is Meloshin Ulfan, Meloshin learning, Aleph Chachma, Aleph Chabina. So that means, well, Asid Lovi, there'll be a revelation of Torah, where and Torah, we know, is Alpayim Shana Kodma Torah L'Olam, so there'll be a revelation of Elokus, which is higher than the world, but which still has a certain connection and a certain relevance to the world. That kind of thing will be revealed through Torah, Shekodma L'Olam, so that kind of thing will be revealed during Ge'ula, and that's another meaning of the Aleph in Ge'ula as compared to Ge'ula. And we started on halachas of nedarim and shavuos. So we said yesterday a person should not make a neder because it's wrong to make a neder except if it must a neder for tzedakah. Now, on the other hand, now you also have there's a neder and there's a shavuos. So actually, I said it inaccurately yesterday. Yesterday, I was saying a neder, I promise, or I do not to do such and such. Really, that's a shavuos. A shavuos has to do with the person. I promise to do or not to do such and such. A neder is really more, this thing should be also to me, this food or whatever should be also to me. So that was saying you shouldn't do, and it's kiel boin and bama, etc. A shvua, also a person should stay away from. But if a person made a shvua, I will or I won't do something, then he shouldn't go be so quick to be matir neder. He should keep the shvua even if it's causing him hardship. As the pasuk says, nishba lahora, the person makes a shvua for something negative for himself, lo yomer, but he doesn't change it. He doesn't go and be matir neder. And the pasuk continues, oisaela, somebody who acts like this, lo yimot lo yom, he'll never stumble. So therefore, a person should be matir shvua only when it's a b'shas adchak. Unlike a neder, where we said to begin with, a person should go and not make it in the first place. And if he does, he should go ahead and be mat, and then go ahead and be matir.